You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
So, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to continue to be a bunch of soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires?
They said all along, perfection is not possible. We just want to get the big decisions right.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Green room getting hot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
The right answer was a goal in Times Square so we could do butts up, but that was an easy one.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe in the green room. One day, just one day, CCL fever is here. I'm a little clammy. I haven't been feeling well for about, 8 months, something like that, since Toronto FC lost. Got my boys here. My fellow, they would like quarantine us. They would quarantine
fever
us.
Sufferers.
Yes, in the real world, we'd be quarantined. David Goss, Matt Doyle, Bobby Warshaw, happy President's Day. We are previewing the best soccer competition in the world.
Wow.
The universe, in the history of sport.
Sport.
Too
you
much.
Sound very Australian there.
Yeah, I was channeling Bobby from the last pod. Yeah. Just working on my Australian peanut butter voice, as you called it there.
I would agree that it is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I guess, what would you say, under the radar favorites?
Oh, you're not comparing it to the World Cup. You're just,
I'm just saying, I've always enjoyed it.
It's your side piece.
It's one of the things, I'll tell you this, that got me even more passionate about MLS. I can tell you the game. Houston Dynamo down at Punta Neras in the day because they had no lights.
Yep.
I think Pat Onstead got a red card. Zach
this
Wells.
08, 09?
Something like that, 07. Yeah. Zach Wells comes off the bench, saves the penalty. I was locked in. Since then, I've been a CONCACAF Champions Cup and then CONCACAF Champions League fan.
All right, if you've been listening to the show, you know what we're doing right now. We are previewing every single team. Today, it's all about the CCL entries for Major League Soccer. Houston Dynamo, Sporting Kansas City, Toronto FC, New York Red Bulls, and Atlanta United. The rules, state of the club in one sentence, ins and out, team MVP, unsung hero, play your kids, burning question, goal for the season should be, and predictions. We're also going to take a closer look, but not an in-depth look, I would say, at the other 11 teams in the competition to get you ready for Tuesday. If you're not familiar with what's going to go down here, it's going to be unique, it's going to be special, it's going to be maddening at times. It's going to be everything that you can hope for and imagine. Toronto FC get it started on the MLS side on February 19th, this Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Yahoo Sports got the English language rights here. So you can go stream those on their app, whether you have a Roku or Apple TV or whatever it is that you use to stream on your television. You can do it on your laptop, on your phone. Univision Deportes also has these games in Spanish language. They have a great broadcast. So know that either way is going to be great. Before we get into the teams themselves, I want to back up a little bit and go bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me, Dave, your favorite CCL moment.
Well, I don't know that was my favorite.
Oh, really?
That was like
okay,
my,
now,
that was
okay.
my burgeoning
So now
love.
I want your favorite CCL moment, just to wet people's whistle a little bit for what's to come. And then we'll get into some of the teams and then the big questions, i.e. can MLS win it and would it matter if they do?
The year was 2011. FC Dallas were taking on, I believe, Santos Laguna and a young midfielder. From the rough and tumble streets of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Carried an American
flag. Loped out onto the field, wearing an American flag cape, and two big bushy eyebrows, and a haircut he should not have had. Someone should have told him about that hair. Did you have no friends to tell you about your hair back then?
It's something I think about for sure.
Okay.
Something I regret.
Is that your real favorite?
I mean, it is
your
now.
There was debate there. I was like, it might be, actually, everything I know about Doyle.
I mean, you know me in like darkness. I loved that second leg of the Red Bulls against Chivas last year because they outshot them 22-1. They just destroyed him.
That
and
is your favorite moment?
It was hilarious.
God,
it was hilarious.
You are a rough person. That is rough.
You have one? Anybody else?
I have 1,000.
Yeah, can I jump in with I
why,
can jump
Wait,
with
why is that rough? Maybe I'm a Chivas fan.
Oh,
well,
yeah?
You're a CCL fan.
You're a fan of the team that will only play Mexican National.
Absolutely.
Good.
At least it's an ethos. Anyway, there's a Lebowski quote.
I'll go with mine since you guys are avoiding the question a little bit here.
No, I have 1,000. I'm ready to go.
I'm going
to
go with Cameron Porter.
God, I knew you were going to steal that.
But actually, I'm not going to go Cameron Porter. I'm going
to
go Frank Klopas
mm-hmm.
throwing out the thrusts on the field.
Nice.
And then, obviously, that year I got to go do both legs of the final. So I went to Azteca in Mexico City, and it was like Impact jumped out, and they're up, and it's like, oh, my God, the whole stadium is quieted. And then they do the same thing basically back at Stade Olympique, and it is bumping. It is crazy there. And then, of course, they lose. Club America comes back. And I just remember, like, this elation and then this familiar feeling of, like, ugh, God, again.
So I'll say that goal at Estadio Azteca, I didn't believe that they could do that. So it's different than mine, which is obviously I went to the final last year, and I was down in Guadalajara against Doyle's favorite team, Chivas Guadalajara. And I was in the stadium, and in my head, I was like, this team's going to win. Like, Toronto FC is going to win. They messed up in the first leg, but they are the better team. Even with the injuries and the crazy lineup they threw out there, I believed that they were going to win the whole time. With Montreal, it wasn't like that. So when they scored that goal, it was one of the epic moments for me, obviously behind Cameron Porter.
Cameron Porter, he is our shining light here. Do you have one, Bobby? I mean, you won in Mexico.
That's true. That was cool. It would have been a little cooler. So I don't know if I ever told you guys a story. I was like at the midfield line getting ready to get subbed in. And then Shellis is like, yeah, this guy's going to screw us. Pulls me back out. Puts Eric Alexander in. It worked. I mean, I can't take that away from him, but that scars me a little bit. So Shellis pulls me back out. I would say my other favorite moment was just the RSL Monterrey final. And who was the bald dude?
Umberto Suazo.
Umberto Suazo.
Heartbreaking.
Assassin.
But that was an amazing first leg when Suazo scored at the end.
I just remember that one in particular, I think, is when CCL became more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And by mainstream, I mean not at all mainstream. But it became more
it's when people really started caring more, especially that RSL run, because it felt like they could win. And if Fabian Espíndola wasn't god-awful in front of goal in that series, they would have won 5-3. But, like, that's the – it seems like for a decade that's been the difference, right? When it comes down to those winning moments, MLS teams have Fabian Espíndola in front of net, and Liga MX teams have Umberto Suazo.
The epic moment of that CCL was my bartender, my favorite part, RIP the mission, put that game on, and every Bruins fan was like freaking out because there was some huge Bruins game, and they were trying to get something else on. It was CCL on every TV in this bar, and at some point he slams the bar and goes, this is what we're watching. Sit down. And I was like, RSL have to win at this point. And then they did not.
So there's your goal for this CCL. Find your way to a bar, a sports bar.
Find a mic.
Maybe they play soccer a lot. Maybe they don't. And get CCL everywhere. Prophesize. This tournament must be spread. We must have more people with CCL fever. We'll get to, I guess, the big questions within a lot of these previews. So I guess let's just get started here. Tuesday, as I said, Toronto FC, Independiente, and also Houston Dynamo, Guastatoya. You have to kind of pause there. I had it before, but that's the Guatemalan side. Wednesday, Atletico Pantoja, New York Red Bulls. That one's in DR. Then on Thursday, Sporting Kansas City, Toluca. That's at Children's Mercy Park. They finish it off in Toluca, that two-leg series. And then Herediano and Atlanta United. Those are the MLS teams. The Mexican teams in this competition are Monterrey, Toluca, Tigres, and Santos Laguna. If you've paid attention to this tournament in the past, you know a little something about Santos Laguna and Hercules Gomez and Darwin Quintero and them just wiping the floor
Uribe.
With MLS teams. Yeah, I mean, there was a run there where they were just blowing teams out, and Herc was a big part of it, and he was always chirping. I can't remember who won the first leg, but he's like, yeah, you just wait. Come down to Torreon.
TFC,
yeah,
right?
Come down to Torreon, and then they won like 6-2 in Torreon.
No, it was the other way around. Didn't they go to Toronto and blow them out? Or am I?
No, I think
oh,
you're
got it.
Yeah,
okay. Cool.
But they did that. They did that to Toronto. They did that to Seattle. I think they did it to you guys too, right, Bobby?
No.
They did it to let's get to the teams. Houston Dynamo. State of the club, Bobby. Do we have the 5 minutes? By the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's hear FC
State of
Dallas
the club, Bobby.
Step up.
What is the state of the Houston Dynamo?
A team with the exact plan that a team like them should have.
I don't know if that's a sentence, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a fragment.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is that the way they play.
Actually, it is a sentence.
Listen, I'm so
wait
tired of this conversation.
To get done of this.
It's 2019. What are sentences?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Bobby just tweeted that. So it's called technology, bro.
Explain yourself.
Bobby, grizzle me right now.
I think if you truly look at the MLS standings, it is a league of parity, and truly anyone, especially with playoffs, can lift MLS Cup. I don't think you can say the same thing about Supporters Shield. The games are too long. You need certain qualities within your team. And 17, maybe? I don't have an exact list, but somewhere around 17 to 18 of the teams aren't going to win Supporters Shield. They're not made to win Supporters Shield. So at that point, how can you differentiate and accept you're not going to win Supporters Shield, but also think about the other way you win a trophy, which is a single elimination competition, almost entirely separate from the original Supporters Shield 34-game competition? And I just don't think enough teams do that, but the Houston Dynamo do. They are not about to win Supporters Shield, but I sure as hell wouldn't want to play them in a single elimination game.
Now, in CCL, it is knockout, two legs. They start off against the Guatemalan team, Guatastoya, but then they have probably Tigres. So we'll get to some more of that later. They have an upward battle. That's why I have them fifth, because the draw was not necessarily kind to them. The ins and outs for the Houston Dynamo on the outside, Leonardo, but doesn't feel like a huge loss for them. Adolfo Machado, same. Dylan Remick is gone. Jared Watts retired. Arturo Alvarez is gone. DeMarcus Beasley thought maybe he would retire, but then he's never going to retire.
The legend,
so
Felipe
Senderos. Senderos, yeah. Senderos.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
Luis Gil. And
so basically no really bad.
For sure, for sure. In comes Chris Duvall. Matias Vera, who's going to play in the center of the park probably next to why can't I think of his name right now?
Juan
David Cabezas. Struna, who's already chucking out red cards. Tommy Mack from NYCFC. Marlon Harrison from the Rapids. And then Minor Figueroa and some super draft picks and a homegrown. They didn't add what I would call a difference maker, but this is not necessarily a team that was looking for that, given Elise and Manotas.
Struna is supposed to be their difference maker.
On the back line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And that's, like, I agree with what Bobby said. Like, this is a, if you look at the front six, this is a group that's meant to play the way that it seems like they're going to play, which is get out into open space and just annihilate guys. Like, the U.S. Open Cup final is the platonic ideal of how Houston should play. I don't see this back. From what I've seen, this back line is going to struggle. I don't think they can defend in their own 18. They don't distribute the ball well. And absorbing pressure only works if you can absorb pressure. And I don't think they can.
MVP of this team?
I agree with everything Matt said. I think that's a really fair critique. But the general plan, aside from actually bringing the right pieces, I really like.
Okay. So if everything goes right, or if it doesn't, regardless, who will be the MVP of this team?
Juan David Cabezas. He would have been last year. I guess maybe he was because he was hurt, and that's why one of the key factors in them being really bad. It's like that Peyton Manning thing. So he's one of the best defensive midfielders in the league. You talk about, you know, maintaining pressure, taking pressure, and then releasing quickly. He fits into that really well. If he can stay healthy, it's a different team. I think that he got hurt the last 2 years, and both years a turning point of their season was him getting injured.
He was very emotional when they won the Open Cup.
He was, and he should have been. It was the franchise's first trophy in 10 years, and he was a big part of it. And like you said, you saw what they were with him and without him. The MVP has to be Albert Elis. Because if Albert Elis, and I think he has all the, like, he's as talented as almost any winger in this league, if he elevates his game and becomes Nacho Piatti, that eases a lot of the pressure that will be put on this back line. If he's that good, it'll help the other guys be really good too.
And he definitely has another gear to his game.
Yeah.
We all believe that. The question is, does he take the lack of being transferred over to Europe as a slight, and does he pout about it, or does he say, all right, people think I'm at that level, and it raises his game? Because on the other side of that, it's also possible that he could go to bigger clubs than the ones in Turkey that were making an offer.
Unsung hero?
I mean, it was Cabezas the last 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the obvious one. Let's go outside the obvious because we think he
Tomas
might be the
Martinez.
MVP.
There aren't a lot of unsung number 10s in this league, but he was really good last year at 5 goals, 13 assists. He's not flashy. Weeby, we had this discussion earlier in the day.
Yeah, you know what? The timer went off, but it's okay. We're only doing 5 teams this time, so we can dig in just a little bit more on the Houston Dynamo. Yeah, look, Tomas Martinez is a guy that when he came in, you kind of expected him to come in the mold of a lot of these other Argentine 10s that have that little bit of magic, that have some goal scoring to them, kind of like Lucho has become, how Valeri has always been. But that's not really who he is. He's like make the simple play number 10, be hard to play against as a number 10, be physical. I don't see him in the final third doing a lot of things that are magical, but I also don't think he's going to be in the final third expected to do those things because of the way they play. If I'm going to go unsung hero here, somehow it's going to be a number 9 and it's Mauro Manotas because still everybody talks about Elise, but I think he has a bigger jump to be made to me this year than Elise will. I think he'll make a bigger jump. That's just me. Play your kids.
It's a lot for a guy who scored 25 goals.
I know, man.
Year.
Yeah. I know. Unsung hero. But I'm saying he'll be the man as opposed to Elise being the man. I know that he got the goals, but I still feel like Elise was the guy that everybody looked to. Well, they're going to be looking to Mauro Manotas this year. So maybe that makes him the MVP.
Unsung hero, obviously, AJ De La Garza. Best person in MLS. Mm. Move on.
There's not really a play your kids angle for them this year. They don't have any real 2,222 kids, quote unquote. So guess we skip over that. The goal for the season, what should it be? What's the big question? And predictions. You can give a CCL prediction and an MLS one.
CCL prediction, they get just rocked by Tigres. In MLS, they are on the Western Conference bubble, but I think they fall just short. But I could be talked out of that pretty easily.
Got one? I think they get smoked by Tigres too, so
I wouldn't be shocked to see Tigres sleep on them. Tigres is a club that's been known to sleep on people. Yes, they really want to win Champions League. I still wouldn't necessarily bet on Houston. I also want to say we could have done a whole segment on why they don't have any 2,222 players and whatever is going on with that academy. I'm going to agree with Matt that they're a bubble team.
I'm on the same boat.
Yeah, I don't think I'm very far away on that one. All right, we'll keep going on my rankings here. Number 4, most likely to make a run in CCL. For me, is Sporting Kansas City, and that is not a knock on Sporting Kansas City. It's more a knock on their draw. They're the only team that faces Liga MX right off the bat. They have got Toluca. You can watch that game, the first leg, at Sporting Kansas City. I believe it is on Thursday. I'm trying to look it up here. Yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern. Again, Yahoo Sports and Univision Deportes.
Is that your one sentence?
No, my one sentence is all the pieces are there, the culture's right, there's ambition, there are expectations, but will not having a marquee 9 end up biting them? Look, they have, as Peter Vermees says...
Wait, the end of that sentence contradicted the start of the sentence.
Thank you.
You started the sentence with all the pieces are there, well, and then you listed the big stinking piece that they haven't had for 5 years.
All the pieces are there, but one. How about that?
Okay,
let me just go back and edit it just a little bit. Look, Peter Vermees made a great point, I thought, this week in some interviews he did, in the sense that Sporting KC fans sometimes think about their team and talk about their team as if they don't spend, which is maybe true in a top-end sense, a la Atlanta United, but is not true when you look at, like, overall cap hits because they have a ton of max players, at least players that make around 525 or more, 8 by his count, and he said that was the most in the league. I'm working on doing the math on all the other teams, and it's hard when you don't have
the... I thought it was 9.
That might be 9.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's a larger number than
Blue
others.
Blue Testament, our friends at Blue Testament listed them at 9. But anyway,
shout out to Blue Testament because that's where I got it as well. Look, I think this is a good team, as evidenced by them finishing atop a very tough Western Conference last year. I just wonder if Nemeth and Eric Hurtado are going to be enough in this competition and whether they can turn it on from minute one against Toluca. They haven't been great in the past in CCL, but this is a more mature team. It's a deeper team. It's a more talented team for sure on the attacking side. So I think they can do it. I just don't think the
odds
are with
them. Eric Hurtado versus André-Pierre Gignac is the matchup North America has been waiting for. But anyway, go ahead, Bobby.
I'll give a shout to a player who could sneak into the MLS Best 11, and that's Felipe Gutierrez. I think if he got off to an incredibly hot start. If he doesn't get hurt, maybe probably doesn't actually push Latan or Rooney for newcomer of the year. But I'm really interested to see what he can do with a full year in his second season in MLS.
I actually think Johnny Russell would be a better shout for Best 11. I think there's just more number 10s that will get it over him. Okay, fine. Neither of them are going to make best
11. Also, there's going to be a number 10 at the holding midfield position in the best 11, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's talk real quick ins and outs for Sporting Kansas City bringing the heat there, Dave. Well done.
Because no one respects defense.
Yeah, for sure. On the out, look, it's Christian Lobato, Colton Storm, Matt Doyle's guy.
Kyrie Shelton.
Yeah, Kyrie Shelton, Diego Rubio, and then Icopara. Those are pretty big outs.
Yeah. Why do you start?
Well, I was reading from the top down.
Oh, God, Andrew.
Uh-huh. Players in, Rodney Wallace, who looks like he may have won the left back job. We'll see.
He started with the second team yesterday.
Did he? Well,
yeah.
The game before, he started with the first team.
We'll yet see. Again, Seth Sinovic holds on.
Yeah, Seth Sinovic's not letting go. Eric Hurtado, we mentioned. Kellen Rowe in via trade. That was part of that Diego Rubio trade. Botond Barath, he is from Hungary. They got him on a free. He'll be the third center back. And then they've got the Rwandan center back come in to be on the fourth side of that. Who's the MVP of this team?
So I was just saying real quick, I think they're deeper than they were last year. I think they have more versatility. But the big question mark is Fontas for me. I know the center forward thing is, but they had one of the best defenses or whatever. Icopara cleaned up for a lot of what happened on that team, and that's also the question mark going into CCL is SKC's big thing is continuity and a good core. And they don't really have that going into CCL because I know Fontas was there last year, but he didn't play. So I'll throw those things in there. Who's their MVP? Is that what?
Yeah,
is that
sure.
Where I'm at
right
now? I'll go Johnny Russell. I think he had a great year last year. I don't think he can take another step. But if he does, they'll be an MLS Cup contender or a favorite, and he'll be MVP.
I think Felipe's got to be their MVP. Their dark horse MVP is Kellen Rowe. Apparently he's been great in preseason. There's some whispers he might actually have won a starting job, though again he didn't start yesterday with the first team, and I still think he has a ton of talent. Unsung hero is still gonna be Tim Melia, right? Like, he's one of the few goalkeepers in the league who you look at and you say, yeah, he could just win you a series outright.
I was gonna say unsung hero is Graham Zusi because what he does makes a lot of what they do possible. But it's hard to put a U.S. national teamer in best 11
and
guy
DP
and, like,
player.
Former MVP top three voter as the unsung hero. So maybe that's a little bit of a stretch there.
I think we're all pretty safe in saying playoffs in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Are they a Supporters' Shield contender this year?
Yeah.
It does strangely feel
yeah,
like
I think they are.
One of the top two locks for the playoffs, them and Atlanta. Maybe they don't – they're not the favorite to finish atop the West – but the safest bet to not have it go wrong enough to finish outside the top seven.
Yeah, we're cheating here, so we're going to keep going. How big is the number nine issue? Christian Namath and Hurtado, can they get it done? I mean, you figure this summer they'll be right back in the market seeing what's up, yeah. But
I mean,
for the time being.
Maybe it's a Sounders-type thing where you say, okay, we're gonna roll with this for the first half of the season, and then we'll have a really good idea of what we want to do in the summer window, and it's easier to get players that you want in the summer window. So maybe that's what they're doing, but I'm afraid it's going to cost them trophies.
When we talk about the number nine, I ask this question. If you were to play that Portland series again, even if the games go the same way and you just change the individual moments, how many times does SKC win that series over Portland?
But you live in, like, the world where what ifs, when there, yeah. there is an if.
Your entire world is a counterfactual.
Yeah, that's what you have to do to understand how things work. Especially in soccer, where it's largely luck and random event-based.
I only respect soccer results if you've played it 10 times. That's the only number I'll take.
No, but you have to, when you
but
do
you
analysis.
Can't play it 10 times, that's a problem,
when
Bobby.
When you do analysis around soccer, you have to look at, did this happen as a random event, and what is the most probable thing to happen in the future?
Now here's let's go cliche. Who's the match winners on SKC?
Give me the context for the question.
Who is going to do what Sebastian Blanco did in a hard playoff game when things aren't going your way?
I'm okay with that argument.
But you can't
ignore the fact that even if they don't have a Sebastian Blanco, you would still take SKC to beat Portland almost every time. So if that's the case, if we have to look in our hearts and say that actually SKC got unlucky.
Our what?
Fair. That SKC got unlucky, then what is this? Is it actually broken? Are we trying to fix something that wasn't broken?
I don't think we're trying to break it or fix it. I think we're just trying to elevate it. And I think that's what Sporting Kansas City missed out on last year. They weren't able to elevate at the time they needed to. And in CCL, they will have to be able to do that. Now, Christian Namath has been that player before for Kansas City. That was years ago. That was a different part of his career. His form was different. His motivation was different. He could be good enough.
His position was different.
Yeah, he could be a 15-goal guy. He could. I think he could. He probably won't be, but he could be. Play your kids is pretty simple here. Jonel Cabuccio, he showed really well in 7 games last year. He belongs.
Jalen Lindsay, you're going to have to rest Graham Zusi some this year. Like, he's not. Zusi is going to play Champions League games. He's going to play Open Cup games. He's going to play, you know, 3,000 MLS minutes. Jalen Lindsay's a really good young right back.
I'd like to see Juan Cousin to get ready for the next era of what's your central midfield.
They're playing him as a D-mid now.
Yeah.
He was more of an 8, I thought, the last couple of years.
But when you look at what Ely Sanchez does and the way he plays it, he can fit that role if they give him the chance. So that would be nice. One last thing I'll throw in on SKC, by the way, is the way they got Felipe Gutierrez, like on a free, it's a good opportunity, it's out there. You know Peter Vermes is always looking for that. I think he hasn't found it yet at a number 9 of a guy who's just in a weird situation that he can get pennies against the dollar, who's better than what he brings him in for. So maybe this year, this summer, is that's when it finally hits, and you know he has the war chest. Like, you know he has Tam built up and Gam built up because of all these trades he makes to snatch up one of those players if it happens. It hasn't at that position over the last few years, but it could be.
Toronto FC, let's put 5 minutes on the clock.
No, I'm going to give you 6 minutes.
Yeah, give us 6.
So you can go 14.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, it's my line.
Uh-huh, it's you. Stay in the club.
I was trying to figure out how to word it. I'm going to say the most important first 3 months of the season in Major League Soccer. Because if you hit June and it doesn't look right, are you going to tear it down and get rid of everything? And
you could, by the way, because you've got Michael Bradley and Josie Alder are coming out of contracts there. So you could have, you know, like, it could be washed away in some senses, at least at the top end of the roster.
Yeah, so I think this, and you know they want to win CCL. They don't seem poised to do it. But you know how much it has meant to the club and how close they got. So I think for any team in MLS, the most important first half of the season is for TFC.
Toronto FC have Independiente from Panama in the competition. You can watch them on Tuesday. They get it started from an MLS perspective down in Panama. That one's at 8 p.m. Eastern. Again, Yahoo Sports and Univision Deportes. That's how you do it there. Ins and outs for them. The outs are pretty clear and obvious here. Lucas Jansen won't be back. Clint Irwin's out. Victor Vasquez moved on to Al Arabi. Nick Haglund traded to Cincinnati. Toussaint Ricketts had his option declined, as did Jason Hernandez. And, yeah, that's about it on the outs, right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Sebastian Jovinko out. Transferred to Al Hilal. On the ins, Nick DeLeon into play right wing. Laurent Simon came back to MLS again. Griffin Dorsey in the draft. He's a GA. Indo re-signed. Noble Okelo, who is apparently really good, 18-year-old homegrown. And then Terrence Boyd, who scored the other day and is my new favorite player in MLS. How about MVP of this team? Because it ain't Jovinko anymore. He's not around.
I think it's got to be Bradley. They got to, you know, I think he needs to move back to central midfield, to defensive midfield, and he has to be the general again. And they missed that for so many big games last year, having to play him on the back line. It didn't work. They need him to, and especially without Jovinko, if you look at the way that team was built, it was built around the Josie Jovinko partnership, and Bradley was moving the ball from zone to zone. Now, without Jovinko there, it's like, it's less about funneling the ball to those two and more about creating a responsive and diverse attack. And that means getting the ball up Bradley's foot and letting him spray.
It's a weird paradox with what happened, because you never want to lose Jovinko, but actually losing Jovinko allows Greg Vanney to play the style, system, and formation that he prefers. Vanney did a wonderful job finding a way to get Josie and Jovinko on the field at the same time. Because remember, there's a little bit of a 4-4-2 diamonds and 3-5-2s being used now, but 4 or 5 years ago, the two-striker system was very seldomly being utilized. And Vanney found ways to get them both on the field, but I don't think that's really what he wanted. I think he always wanted pace and width, which he hasn't really had. So it's a weird element that you don't want to lose Jovinko, but it actually might make Vanney feel a little more comfortable in that it allows him to play a way that speaks to him a little more.
I think the big thing with them is that we may not know the MVP right now, right? Could it be Alejandro Pozuelo if that happens? And it may have. Again, we're taping this early because we don't want to work on President's Day. But it's maybe a guy that they haven't signed yet.
Or it could be Chris Mavinga or Lawrence Simon.
Yeah, it could
if they play well enough.
Could it be Jonathan Osorio?
Maybe, but he is he going to play that much better than he did
last
year?
That's the thing.
He was their MVP
last
year, right?
Yeah,
and they didn't make the playoffs. That's not his fault.
Right.
But somebody else has to be, I would say, the elevator who takes it all to the next level. Unsung hero, have we hit that one yet? Would that be a Sorio?
Yeah,
would that
probably.
Be a Drew Moore? Would that be a Mavinga?
Oh, Mavinga might be it, actually.
If he's healthy.
Yeah.
Which is the huge question mark.
I mean, if he's healthy, he's arguably the best
I think
center back
they had,
in the league.
Yeah, they had like a winning record last year when he was healthy, and they were just terrible without him. And that's pretty that's pretty stark. I mean, it's not, you know, correlation causality isn't entirely married there, but it's, you know, dating.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks around this team for a team where we kind of know all the pieces. It's just how it fits together and how guys accept new roles, right? So if you bring Michael Bradley into that defensive midfield, what does Marky Delgado's role look like? What type of season does he have? What does Osorio have, like you said, compared to what he did last year? Because now you know your role. You know you have to take over if you're Osorio and play that way consistently because Giovinco's not there. If Pozzola comes, now you change everything. Everyone's role changes once again. And like Doyle was saying, the way you play changes once again because now he's your number 10 and you're playing through him rather than building up as a team consistently. Bobby, you look very ponderous right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're very perplexed.
You were just talking about – I don't think I agreed with anything you just said.
Say, knock it all down. I dare you.
Who's changing their role? I mean, Michael Bradley is a defensive midfielder. Marky Delgado and Jonathan Osorio are center midfielders. I don't know what you just said about who's changing their role in that group.
Well, the way the team plays is differently, and also everyone's responsibility level is different because Giovinco's not there.
Okay.
You don't have – let's just throw it up top to Giovinco.
Giovinco
and Josie. And change it. If you're Delgado now, you have to be a more influential player consistently. Bradley also seems to potentially be slowing down. Does he have to cover even more ground if you're Delgado?
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Liam Frazier, is he the player kids? Or is it Okello?
It might be Akinola. Because I think they're going to a 4-3-3. And if you look at this roster, Josie's, if he's healthy, is a sure thing at center forward. Who are the wings? It's not clear. You know, you have guys, Akinola's there, Tsubasa Endo, Griffin Dorsey, who they, you know, who they just drafted.
Who's actually my player kids.
Okay. And Nick Daly, like, there's not a ton. So right now it's Akinola. I think there's room for him.
All right, if they get through round of 16, they'll see either Toluca or Sporting Kansas City. That's the only reason ahead of them, ahead of Kansas City, because KC might be out in that first round. Goal for the season should be predictions, and then we'll go to break and hit the two favorites, Red Bulls and Atlanta, in the next segment.
MLS Cup.
MLS Cup?
Should be the goal.
Yeah, with or without a replacement for Giovinco?
Without.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that there's a lot of doom and gloom around this team, but you couldn't build an 11 that is still really, really good. And if we hadn't had a reference point with Giovinco, you would say is still a team that can challenge for MLS Cup.
I don't disagree with what Bobby's saying. From a CCL point of view, I do. I don't think they have enough because Giovinco was able to bail them out because of his quality in tough situations. And also, there are new pieces this year. So last time it was basically the season 2017 had never ended. Now it's a whole new reboot. But I think in MLS, I agree with Bobby. They still have one of the
more Moro, Simon. These guys aren't the players they were 2 years ago.
So you're saying MLS Cup?
Doyle went back to the dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
Place.
So you're saying like make the playoffs, and you should be happy.
No, I'm saying that reasonable expectation is for this team to finish top four in the East. I don't think they have it for CCL. But I don't think anybody's going to be happy about that.
All right, let's go to the break. On the other side, as I said, the favorites, New York Red Bulls and Atlanta United.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back on Extra Time Radio. Happy President's Day. Happy CCL Fever Week. The games start on Tuesday. Toronto FC in Houston at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Yahoo Sports is the new streaming provider. And then, of course, Univision Deportes has it as well. Wednesday, Atletico Pantoja hosts New York Red Bulls. And then on Thursday, Sporting Kansas City hosts Toluca and Atlanta hosts at Ediano. I think the two favorites, as I had them ranked, are Red Bulls and Atlanta. Red Bulls because of their draw, their experience in the competition, their center backs, Kaku, here for a whole year, BWP. We will start with them. 6 minutes on the clock, so we're giving a little extra time because of CCL. It's kind of like the Tamman flex that they get as well. Who had the Red Bulls? It has to be Doyle, right? You had to have State of the Club, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, go.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. This is the Red Bulls. I know that, you know, we got a half season of Chris Armas, and he did pretty well in some sense, really well in the regular season, and then I thought really poorly in the playoffs. But this is a Red Bulls team. We know that they are going to press. We know that they are going to be the fittest team in the freaking hemisphere. We know that they're going to go hard into 50-50s that would terrify any other team. We know how they're going to play. And the question, once again, is in those big moments, in those series-winning, trophy-winning moments, are they going to have a player who can rise to the occasion and put the ball in the net?
All right. Ins and outs for the New York Red Bulls. They start in Dominican Republic in CONCACAF Champions League. Then they will probably place Santos Laguna in the quarterfinals. And then you'd think it would be Tigres, maybe Dynamo, probably not Saprissa as they move into the semifinals if they get that far. Ins and outs for the New York Red Bulls. On the outside, Tyler Adams is the big one. Aurelien Collin, I'm imagining him wave his fingers. He heads down the tunnel in Guadalajara right this second. And then it's Carlos Rivas, Fidel Escobar, Tommy Redding. Hassan Mdam got moved in the expansion draft. But it really is Adams and then maybe Aurelien Collin. On the in, you've got Amro Tarek. You've got Marcus Epps. Homegrowns in Jean-Christophe. You want to give me that one?
Jean-Christophe Kofi.
Thank you. Omer Fernandez is the other one, and then they went and spent a couple million here on the Danish teenage forward, Mathias Jorgensen. So that's the ins and outs for them. MVP?
Can I just throw in real quick? Vincent Bezicourt and Florian Vlot are two big ins for them. Yeah. Those are two guys that missed
Vlot especially.
Yeah, he was a lockdown starter.
Yeah, we might not be having the conversation about the Red Bulls missing that one extra piece because he was that good the first half of the season.
And Kyle Duncan, another one. So those are three young players that they really like, or young, quote-unquote, that are back this year.
Okay. Who should be the MVP of
Kaku.
This team?
It's got to be. They paid him for it. They kept him even though there was all this offseason drama. He plays the centerpiece role. Armas does like, again, they're still a Red Bulls team, but they do like to possess a little more and create a little more from passing rather than from winning second balls. It's all set up for Kaku to go out there and show everyone that he wasn't a $7 or $8 million player. He was a $12 or $14 million player.
Unsung hero?
The back line sung. Luis Robles is sung. Sean Davis is not sung. But if you talk to any of his teammates, they'll tell you there's one guy on this team who we could get a ton more out of, who has even more to offer, and it's Sean Davis. Bobby's not going to talk this segment.
No, there's a there's a really important thought that I'm figuring out how to word. And we've given the Red Bulls a ton of credit for the system and the pipeline and all these things. And what is your level of confidence that it was the system and the pipeline and not the unicorn, and that Tyler Adams didn't just make everything look much better?
I mean,
they won supporter shields without him as a big time player.
Yeah, but that was teams with Sasha Kljestan in them and Dax McCarty in them.
You know what? Against Atlanta United last year, it wasn't. In that huge 3-0 or 2-0, I guess, win at Red Bull Arena, they played Atlanta United with Miguel Almiron off the pitch, and Tyler Adams was watching. And Bradley Wright Phillips was watching that game as well. I think it is the system, and I think it's generally been good coaching, good system, and really good players. But Bobby's right. It's a huge question.
Yeah, for me, two unsung heroes, because as you said, basically 60% of this team has been sung. Omer Fernandez, if he can give them any goal scoring from that wing, which I think is the big hole for this team, is opposite Daniel Royer, can you get goals because you don't have to rely 100% on BWP and Casares? Because as you said, Tyler Adams was special, he seems like he might be that guy.
Yeah, but you have Alex Mwil.
If we value the system this highly, isn't every team just going to replicate what Atlanta did? Like, at what point to MLS teams say, okay, the Red Bull system is impressive enough? Because I agree with Matt. That's the data point you look at to answer my question. But why won't every team this year just be like, screw it. Aaron Long, it's going right over your shoulder.
What did Atlanta have, 10 days in between before that series started?
And they had
And the Red Bulls didn't press. The Red Bulls went away from their system in that game.
Are we going to do this again?
No, we can't. I won't allow it. Play your kids. We know this team has produced a lot of good players over the years and sold them.
I already said two of them.
Christian Caceres, is that the one for you, Junior? Yeah. He just got done with Venezuela. Played basically every game at the U-20 CONMEBOL Championships. They did not make the World Cup, but...
It's the Red Bulls. They have 35 different player kids. It's Caceres. It's Kofi. It's Jorgensen, the Danish striker that they just spent seven figures on. Maybe he is the extra attacking heat. Maybe it's Omir Fernandez, who I like a lot. He's really productive for a really good college program and on the fringes of that great US U-20 team. We know yours, Weeby. Alex Manuel, right?
Always. Always. Best 2222 eligible player in Major League Soccer until he's...
In perpetuity.
Yeah, until forever.
Nobody from their academy, though, right now. Am I forgetting
Omir Fernandez.
Yeah, Omir Fernandez.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd also say, I thought before he got hurt, Kyle Duncan was playing well enough to start.
Yep.
And if there's true the rumors about people wanting Maria for a transfer fee, that would be huge for them.
Yeah. And I think Ben Mines would be the other academy kid, but yeah. I don't think he's that level, to be honest with you.
All right. Goal for the season should be win MLS Cup.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that one answers
win,
it.
Win either, right? Win either CCL or MLS Cup.
Right. Win a trophy that's – I mean, would Open Cup, it would be like 1A2 there. Like, if you won it and you didn't win the others, you'd be like, all right, that's something, but it still wouldn't quench the thirst, the appetite the Red Bulls supporters in the club have for those two.
I think you're right.
And I'll say CCL-wise, I think they match up well against Santos Laguna in the next round if they get through the first round. Tigres is Tigres, and we've already talked about it on the show. We'll talk about it if that moment comes. I don't know how they match up against them, but – I like them through to a potential semifinal.
Okay, let's turn to Atlanta United here. Bobby, you have the state of the five stripes, seven stripes, if all the rumors about their jersey change are true, but whatever, we'll stick with five stripes. Give me the state of the club.
We've raised the bar in the league, and there's only one place left to go.
CCL.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty
good. Well done, Bobby.
I didn't think he had it. But he said, like, his eyes started wandering around the room, and I was like, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
Yeah. No, Bobby was reading it off his brain.
Yes, I mean, it wasn't exactly Van Basten in 1988, but it was a really good finish.
Herediano is their matchup in the round of 16. Monterrey is facing Alianza on the other side of that one, so Monterrey will be the team that they will face.
Oh, my God. Sorry, but I felt this way a few years ago for the first time, and you feel this way again. Like, I would be so excited to watch Monterrey versus Atlanta United. Like, to go down to the BBVA. It's going to be packed in Monterrey, not in Houston. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be packed. PT Martinez just did what he did in Copa Libertadores, and I can tell you from being last year how the Mexican media covered Jovinko and how the energy around him. That's what it's going to be like with PT when you go down there. Like, the Mexican media, the Mexican fans are going to come to watch this guy, watch Joseph Martinez play. So, sorry. I jumped the gun there.
Exciting. Anytime you feel that way, you just, like, you give us a sign. We'll get out of the way. You make the solo run and go for goal.
I don't know that they're going to win CCL. I'm not saying that. But that series would be awesome.
They are the clear favorite among MLS teams. Am I wrong in saying that? What would make me wrong? They are the clear favorite.
Monterrey would make you wrong.
No, they lose to Herediano.
Yeah, right.
Well, okay, outside of...
Florentine Pogba starts at Herediano, has no idea what's going on, and they lose.
Fine. That could be it. But I'm just saying right now, in our current state where we don't know what's going to happen, we're just prognosticating. Atlanta United are the champions. They've got the most attacking talent. They've arguably got the most midfield, and they've just got the most talent.
They have a lot of things going, but they have a new coach, and they have a new star player. Joseph Martinez isn't a player who's ball dominant, right? The team ran through Miguel Almirón. Mm-hmm. Now it has to run through a new guy. Everyone has to learn that on the fly while the coach is bringing in potentially a new system and going into a situation that they have very little experience in. Outside of what, Parkhurst?
Parkhurst, Larenowitz. I don't know. I find it tough to imagine that LGP and Joseph and PT and even Barco, Remedy, mm-hmm. Brad Guzan are going to be at all intimidated by CONCACAF Champions League. I feel like this is a new team that should adjust pretty well.
This feels to me like Toronto FC coming into last year, where it was like, we're the best team in the league.
Yep.
We think we're, if not the best team in the region, one of the top three. let's go prove it. This is our opportunity. This should be fun. We're really good. Let's go see if we can punch Monterey in the mouth and do something that, as Bobby said, no team has ever done. Let's talk ins and outs here. We know about Miguel Miron. He is out for a whole lot of money. Also out, Sal Zizzo. Greg Garza is out. Chris McCann is gone.
Darlington Nagby.
We don't know. Maybe in the weekend that happened between us recording this and us releasing it.
Man, that will kill Weeby. I can't wait for that text the moment it happens.
Oh, we should have. Breck Shea is in with his dreadlocks. Breck Shea, Pity Martinez, Florentine Pogba. They're sticking with the crew, which makes sense because it was a really good crew. Mm-hmm. MVP has got to be Pity Martinez.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, like, if you look at how much that team ran through Almirón last year and how much of their personality he gave them, PT's not the same type of player, but you need the same type of production out of him. And really, honestly, I think he's a better final third player. And if he is that, then you're willing to sacrifice the engine room work that Almirón did for the extra 3 goals and 4 assists.
Also, Frank DeBoer is talking a lot, and the players are talking a lot about the change in kind of tactical identity and mindset, and it's a little more defensive, a little bit more organized, they say.
Yeah, they say that was a pretty defensive performance that they had in the playoffs. They didn't allow an open play goal in, what, 5 games, was it? So I'm not sure I believe they're more defensive. I actually think they're going to end up being more spread out and even more ball dominant than they were.
Watching them in preseason, they've sat in a 5-4-1 with their line of confrontation somewhere around midfield, which suggests they're going to have to be good on the break. Have you guys seen PT play on the break?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can he do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The games that I saw him play.
He did it in the Libertadores final.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very good at making decisions at high speed. It's not the same speed as Almirón, and I think he's better than Almirón in tight spaces, which is why you might shift the way you play. But if you were to tell me, oh, he's going to have to play a lot in open space this year, that wouldn't be a worry for
me. Okay, that was my worry. So if you answer that question. The second part is their preseason games, they've played out of dangerous situations, the kind of things Man City does in the Premier League, where they're passing the ball across their six, and it's been impressive, but there's a part of me that wonders if they would have won MLS Cup if they hadn't abandoned playing out of the back, and now they're going back to it for these big games. Are these two at odds with each other? Atlanta's winning a championship and playing out of the back. So I don't know, but I'm interested to see how that manifests.
And the kicker on that is it's also moving to a one-game knockout. Which goes almost, you'd rather have more games if you're going to play that way, mm-hmm. right? Because one mistake here kills you in a one-game knockout.
Well, wait, one-game knockout. What are we talking about here?
The
CCL's
playoffs.
Too, like,
MLS playoffs.
Oh, gotcha.
No, that's what I'm saying. And you're saying,
I'm
like,
so locked into CCL fever that I'm like, playoffs.
But they adjusted last year to win in last year's MLS Cup playoff formats. And now this year is even farther along the, I'm sure Bobby will say, the best team never wins and one mistake. And if you played it 10 times, you know.
We all believe that Bobby believes that. No, just kidding. Look, we're going to give this a little bit more time. Unsung hero for Atlanta United.
Rometty. Mm-hmm. Rometty. They just sat him in front of
Big
that.
Big Red?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think like Big Red might be the line this year to borrow Ben Barra's thing. Like it's probably time to move on from him. At least a little bit.
At BenBear89 on Twitter, ask him what the line is, if you don't mind. Play your kids.
The line is inaccurate. So you ask Ben, and I just want to point out that it's wrong.
Well, I mean, that's Ben's brand, right? If you ask him something or you tell him something, he just automatically countermands it. Like, he's just a very disagreeable person.
Okay.
Anyway.
Player kids. Obviously George Bello to start. Breck Shea's probably the starter at left back to start the year. But basically you name 5 people out and 3 are left backs.
I think the bigger one is Miles Robinson. Miles Robinson has barely played through 2 years. He's 21 years old. And it looks like DeBoer has him in the middle of that back five. Like he's playing. It's not Michael Parker's in the center. It's Miles Robinson in the center. That's a huge amount of responsibility for a relatively untested player.
I want to throw in Lagos Kunga as well because
he's Atlanta United too.
Ooh, I think that he's very good, and I think that when you look at this team, you're going to end up potentially having to need 2 sixes in this team. Continue.
By the way, right here, Dave, when you say Atlanta United 2. That makes his heart flutter. That's not a demerit.
I thought
for
we
him.
Were
He's
doing
a big
Atlanta
Rebels
United
2 guy.
Season
He's like,
preview.
Boom. Yeah, we got like 10 minutes on that coming up in the mailbag.
Good.
I just want to go back to the Miles Robinson part about why am I concerned about playing out of the back. Part of it's Miles Robinson. part of it's Eric Rometty, who's good at a lot of things, probably not taking the ball under pressure at the top of his own 18, which he would be asked to do a lot. So that's the explanation on that concern.
Burning question for them. I mean, their goal for the season should be to basically win a treble. Maybe, I mean, they could conceivably entertain the fact that they go for the quad. I mean,
but
that
ain't
going to happen.
Question. Who is Barco? What is Barco?
Yeah.
I mean, did they just flush $18 million down the drain? Not
15, right?
15, sorry.
Yeah, plus
not
salary.
Specifically, yeah. But that's the burning question.
Yeah.
I mean, he was supposed to be the next guy. They were supposed to sell him for a ton, and he played. He was
if
kind
he's
of
an he was basically an average player in MLS last year. If he's just an average player, then this team shouldn't be expecting a treble. Unless Andrew Carleton comes through. And Andrew Carleton, it looks like he's the top midfield attacking sub so far. They're pleased with his fitness and his approach. If he could keep his head on straight off field, which obviously applies to Barco as well, maybe this team can do what Toronto FC did in 2017.
Somebody screaming into their car about Tito Villalba.
Yeah, that's fair. But it doesn't look like he's going to start.
But he'd still beat Andrew Carleton out for
the
first player.
That's why I said midfield.
He would still probably take that spot.
He's not.
Okay. All right. I'm breaking up this argument to make a guarantee right here, and I'm trying to decide how I'm going to phrase it. I guarantee that Ezequiel Barco will get combined goals and assists 20 or more.
Oh.
I'm hitting the under.
I guarantee in that.
I don't think it was an over-under thing. I think you just guaranteed.
Yeah, that's
it.
A guarantee.
I'll guarantee the under.
Okay. Well, that's not a great guarantee. Guarantees are supposed to be out on a limb. You're not going out on a limb there. You're taking like the conceivable. I'm stuttering.
This is Wondolowski-esque right now.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the opposite of Wando. Like, you know.
This is interesting.
I think that on this team with Pity, with Joseph, with a year under his belt, with more responsibility, with a warning flare shot over the bow of the Barco last year by Tata and everybody else, that he'll understand if he wants to accomplish the things that he seems capable of and the price tag that's been put on him, now's the time, man.
What do you think a young 20-year-old Argentine youth international thinks when he got convinced to come play for Tata Martino and now Frank DeBoer is coaching him?
I don't know. He didn't really get, you know, he kind of got.
If he thinks anything other than I better earn my money this year, I better live up to this billing, then he's not going to be an Argentine international.
That's a good point. Predictions for them?
At least one trophy. I don't know which it'll be. They could win CCL. They could win the Supporter Shield. They could win Open Cup. They could win MLS Cup. They're good enough to win all four.
That's what I was saying. It's not going to happen. Because those sorts of things just don't happen, but they're the only team in this league that I would like be tempted to make a crazy guarantee like that, like treble, or even double. To be honest with you, I don't know that I would make that about any other team. Bobby's pondering.
That Barco thing was good, dude.
Yeah, hey,
that's good fodder.
Yeah, if I come back at 20 goals and assists, remember, because it could be like 4 and 16.
By the way, guarantee
praise
you.
Praise be to second assist.
We're sitting on this show October 15th, and Weeby's breaking down big chances created for Barco. And they're like, well, he had 0.7 in this game, so I'm going to give him a full assist for that.
Every time somebody tricks one of his assists, I'm going to be furious. I'm going to be all over it. All right, that is the five CCL teams. We've gone through them now. Let's take a quick look at the rest of the field because, let's face it, it's not just MLS teams that make this fun. You are have been assigned to be the researcher, Dave.
Yeah, which I feel like now that you call me that, I feel like I let down the whole team.
Really?
Let's go for it.
Okay, give me your best fun fact. What team should we start with, do you think?
Let's start with Marathon.
Marathon, okay. That's from Honduras. Marathon is going to start the tournament against Santos Laguna.
Mm-hmm. And they have multiple nicknames. One is Sinofina Verde, the Green Symphony.
That's dope. I like
one
that.
One is Panzas Verde, the Green Bellies.
The Green Bellies? Like belly, like a pat my belly?
That's what I've been told. Okay. I came for translation help to other people. The Esmeraldas, which is the emeralds. But the Monstruo Verde, the green monsters, and then Verde Lagas, which I don't know what that means. Does anyone know what that means?
I don't know what you're coming to us for that.
I believe it's Green Lakes. But that doesn't really fit the mantra of the other ones.
No, so. Everything is green. Okay, that's Marathon. They'll probably be out after the round of 16. Santos Laguna. I'm just being real.
Santos Laguna, fun fact, is Darwin Quintero, now an MLS player, fourth all-time on appearances for them.
He was so fun.
He was amazing
for
that team.
Oh, my God. Watching those teams in CCL.
The Club America consider him a disappointment, but that's not – Club America, Darwin, is not the real Darwin.
Well, Club America in itself is a disappointment.
Amen. Also, just to tell you
about
Santos.
Shout out to Rich.
Santos Laguna, all the guys on the top of that list are all, like, in the last 12 to 15 years.
Yeah.
It's a newer team.
Like, them and Toluca, I think, over the last 20 years are the two teams that were just always kind of there and then really came up.
Give me Guastatoya from Guatemala. What do you got for Guastatoya? They are taking on the Houston Dynamo in the round of 16.
2018, Apertura Clausura was their first titles in club history.
Whoa.
So I think for most people, you think of Municipal, yeah. Comunicaciones, when you think of Guatemala. There are a few clubs in this that are different than the average teams you normally see.
Yeah,
from
we would
countries.
Normally see, you would think, yeah, maybe Motagua? Wait, that's out of Honduras.
No,
so that,
Comunicaciones,
yeah, so
I think, is the most
Comunicaciones,
successful.
Yeah, and yeah. then Olympia, maybe. Okay, yeah. All right. Saprissa, let's go there.
Obviously, the
purple
monsters.
Yeah.
But they were the last CONCACAF champion that wasn't from Mexico. 2005, they went to the Club World Cup. They beat Sydney FC to move on to the semifinals. They lost to Liverpool 3-0 there and then ended up winning the third place game against a Saudi Arabian club. So they were third. They were the third best team in the world.
They've got Tigres to kick this thing off, which is that's a tough draw. Let's see. We'll hit the Mexican clubs last, I think. Independiente from Panama. They are taking on Toronto FC.
They are another team that is a surprise here. 2018 was the first title in their club's history. So you know Arabe Unido, San Francisco.
Toro.
Those are the three major teams.
Toro's the one who beat Dallas last year, I believe.
Yeah. Remember, that was another great CCL moment because, remember, Toro had the spy who admitted to being a spy and bought, like, FC Dallas things in the club shop because he got cold. So he was literally spying in an FC Dallas blanket, which is a great story. I loved that. I DM'd with him a bunch. I had to reach back out to him.
Yeah, you guys are boys.
Yeah, we are. Gives a little inside,
do you want to pick
inside
another?
Information on Independiente, see what's up, what a scouting report is, see if he's been to the stadium, the training facility, to sneak through the fence a little bit. Let's see. I'll choose another team for you there. Alianza. They've lost their best player.
Alianza.
Off to LAFC, baby.
Yeah, they did. Also, they were the first Central American team to win a CONCACAF championship in 1967.
Whoa.
One of three El Salvadoran teams. To win a regional title.
Nice. Way back in 67.
Yeah. I think the tournament was aligned way differently, not a little. And that might be part of the reason why, but yes.
Alianza got Monterrey in the first round, which is, again, tough. Let's go to the Dominican Republic here.
Alianza.
Yes. Atletico Pantoja.
Oh, my God.
DR, baby.
So, I love CONCACAF, and I love delving into the world of everything. Clearly, someone from this team added to their Wikipedia page, and they chose to write this. The club in a short time positions itself as one of the most winning clubs of the Dominican Republic. Atletico Pantoja became the first association football club from the Dominican Republic with 10,000 followers on Facebook, their most popular social media page.
Nice.
Boom. Now you know everything you need to know.
Hopefully the Red Bulls do not treat this trip to DR as a vacation.
Uh-huh.
Do not overlook Atletico Pantoja, because if you lose to them, that will be... very, very free space.
Also, what's more New York than going to Dominican Republic in December?
Exactly.
Or in February to get out of the
bingo.
Cold.
That's exactly the trend. I guess that means we're heading to the Mexican side. So who do you want to start with? I think we finished with Tigres and Monterrey. So let's start with Toluca.
Toluca, one of the classic clubs in Liga MX. Their home stadium is called La Bombonera. Does anyone know what that stands for?
The chocolate box.
Just like Boca Juniors. Yep. It was built in 1954. It's one of the legendary stadiums in Mexico. It hosted games at both the World Cups. And fun fact, they had lights installed for the first time ever in 2006. Huh. So everyone knows the famous noon Toluca game in Mexico. They always play at noon. It's 1,000 degrees. It's at really high altitude as well. They didn't have lights until 2006. That's why that was a thing. And then... 2 years ago, they renovated their whole stadium for their centennial because they are now 102 years old.
And I'm going to add that they are the winningest club in Liga MX over the last 20 years. They have 10 total titles ever, but seven of the 10 have come since 1998. The next up is like Santos Laguna with six, which I just stole a little of your thunder. So this is a like this is a team that has the pedigree now over the last 20 years.
Santos Laguna. Let's go with that. Tuca, of course,
well, I
against
told
Sporting
you my
Kansas
Santos
City.
Laguna one.
Oh, yeah.
It was Darwin
Quintero. I went too early on that one.
No, it's fine. I just threw it in there.
Yeah.
Their all-time leading goal scorer, can you guess? I'll give you a clue. Mexican international center forward with a great forehead.
Yeah.
No, Uribe second.
Oh. With a great forehead.
Borghetti?
Yeah.
All right. Nice.
I think it was before he went to England.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Because he came back to Cruz as well.
Let's go Monterrey.
Monterrey is a great club. I just have my notes right here, which I am now getting to.
I will add something.
Okay.
Monterrey's total team value on transfer market, which, you know, dodgy, but whatever, is I think about $82 million, which is the highest in all of North America.
And their center forward and the fourth leading goal scorer all time is Rogelio Funes Mori, who won the 2007 Sueño MLS competition.
Sueño.
Alongside Jorge Villafaña. They were co-winners.
Somebody maybe should have signed him.
Yeah, for sure.
Just going to throw that out there. Obviously, they're also the team that beat RSL in the CONCACAF Champions
First
League.
First of three straight wins for them.
Yeah.
2010-2011 was that final.
Finish off with Tigres, and we'll go to the break in the mailbag.
So Ben Bear is a Tigres fan, so I asked him for a fun fact, and he said 2018 was the first time in 4 years that they didn't win the Apertura.
Huh. Yeah.
So the expectation is there. Like Eddie Vargas.
And when
we'll
you talk about
around.
Teams on the come up, the Monterrey-Tigres rivalry is the second biggest in all of Mexico.
Yeah, 15 years ago, it was like kind of an afterthought. Like it was very local, but now it's like a national event. Like these are the two biggest spending clubs in Liga MX.
And
right
we've
now.
Talked about this on the show a little bit, but the last year Mexican teams were eligible for Copa Libertadores was when they brought in Gignac and spent heavy to win that, and they lost to River Plate in the final. But that was the flashpoint for them.
PT Martinez is River Plate.
Yeah, was he on the field? Carlos Sanchez was captain of that team. Yeah. And then that season, he went to Monterrey, which is such a great thing to do to your rival. To acquire the player that just hurt them the most is awesome.
All right, that's CCL fever. Before we get out of here, the big question we have to answer. Will an MLS team win it this year? Just be real here.
I felt better about Toronto going into last year than I do this year. I feel better about all the other teams this year than I did last year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Seattle was in a bad place.
Yeah.
I
mean, the Red Bulls were – I felt pretty good about them. But then I started feeling really good about them after the Cholos thing. I just think Monterrey and Tigres are too good. I think like Tigres, this Tigres group is destined to get one. They're destined to get one CCL title, you know, with Gignac and Ed Vargas and Guido Pizarro. This team is destined to get one.
Inter Valencia still there?
Believe so.
I mean, that just like when you start to talk about their squad and when you see like the Gignac highlights come out of Mexico and watch him play, it's still mind-boggling the things that he does. I'm pessimistic. I'll just put it out there. I don't think MLS is going to win this year. And maybe that's just me, like, hovering over free space and just trying to protect myself a little bit. But
Seed the doubt.
Yeah, seed the doubt. For sure. We should have made seed the doubt part of our previews, by the way. That was a real mistake on our part. And maybe that's a column for one of us now. Seed the doubt, the column. I just don't believe that Monterrey or Tigres can be overcome.
Bobby's going to jump out of his chair.
Well, no. Sorry. I just want to reframe the way you thought about the situation. Because your question was, can someone win it this year as if that's the most important thing? And I know we're all desperate for an MLS team to win. And I am too. We should absolutely be desperate. But I don't want people to think that that is the most important measuring stick. The most important measuring stick is continue to chip away and have more teams make it a little further. It's not about having a single team win it, because what we found last year in the final, we found with Montreal or RSL, there's weird things that can happen in a final that don't necessarily say that one team is better than the other, but the more important thing is having MLS teams just do a little bit better.
So if the semifinals were Atlanta, Toronto, Tigres, and the Red Bulls, and then the final was Atlanta and Tigres. Like three of the four MLS teams make the semifinals, and then it's, you know, Tigres ends up winning it. Mm-hmm. You think that's a better indicator for MLS than having one team plow through?
Yes. That is a more successful
tournament. Like, let's say four of the five MLS teams don't advance past the quarterfinals, but Toronto wins.
Less successful tournament.
Interesting. Let us know what you think. 401-206.
Well, in fairness, for that to happen, MLS. Toronto might have to beat Kansas City. So they would be knocking out an MLS team and Atlanta.
Yeah.
Look, we can all hope. For now, I'm protecting myself, and I don't think it's going to happen. But as soon as that whistle blows on February 19th, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern for MLS, the tournament starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. Yahoo Sports, Univision Deportes, those are your places to watch. I'll be all in again. I'll be all in. We'll see you on Twitter, everybody. We're going to the break right now. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Tell me why I should stay in this relationship when I'm hurting, baby. I ain't happy, baby. But there's so many other things I gotta deal with.
Back on Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental. A reminder for you, February 25th is our first show on YouTube. The podcast stays the same. We're just training cameras on ourselves. It's going to be a process to, I don't know, to stay natural. Do you guys feel like I have a problem with that? Under the lights, do you change as a person? Double birds from Matt Doyle. Don't think I wasn't going to tell people you were doing that to me right then. You don't get to just do that and not get away.
It's weird in the studio, right? Like, sometimes during shows, for whatever reason, yeah, it's a little different.
It is different. There's a different energy. I hope we can bring the green room energy, but also have a different mixture of energy.
I'm yawning, though, man. I don't have much
energy.
Hey,
it's been
right
a long
now.
Day. We've done all these on Thursday, so if you're listening on this Monday.
Oh, poor weeby.
I'm just trying to tell people. I'm trying to explain. Golly,
why Doyle's
man.
Weak? You don't have to explain that to anyone.
We got to work on
Doyle's
the
weakness
fitness.
Stems from his birth.
I can't wait till you're old. You are going to be just such a lousy, grumpy old man, David.
Potentially.
Yeah. But
at that point, they'll have pushed me away to a kibbutz with 60 people in the Negev, and no one will ever talk to me, and I won't speak Hebrew. My family will be like, you'll be happier there.
You'll still find people to talk to.
I'll talk at them.
Just be clear.
That's why me and Russians get along so well, because I can fill 97%.
Just cleaning out the chicken coops. These chickens are like, yo, buddy, I've heard about that. Cut it out. Let's go.
So I owe an apology to Caitlin, who emailed us last week or this week, whatever we're saying, on Valentine's Day, and I forgot to read the email. She got snowed into Seattle, and so she was not able to acquire a Valentine's gift for David Dimmitt, who is one of the ETR legendary fans.
Oh, man, David Dimmitt is a legend.
So he gave us Scam Tam. Thank you, Sam. A couple other songs as well.
By the way, David, I will honestly give you, you produce songs for us, email the show, and let's talk about some swag compensation.
Okay,
good swag, signed jersey swag.
In her email, she says he's been promised a t-shirt a few times on air, but has never gotten one. So
what?
I really don't think that was a good idea. So we're going to get something in the mail.
Can we pass this off onto Anders this year? Can this be Anders' job?
I think it should be.
He is way more competent than you guys are. Yeah.
Well, the problem
don't point at anybody but me. Yeah. I'm fine. I'll jump right on this grenade. I will hug it. I will protect all of you from the blast.
I spent 4.5 hours at FedEx right before Christmas, which is an ideal time to be in a shipping place where people send gifts to get all those out.
I'm so sorry, David. You are a legend, and you deserve
apparently,
so much
better. Apparently, she also noted to get this in there that she thinks I'm a cutie, which I agree with.
Whoa.
She also said,
David, you got to watch out. She also, Dimmitt, not you.
Yeah.
Both of you, actually.
She also said, though, she didn't like Bobby, but her feelings on Bobby have changed. Mm. So she's putting that out there on the record. She's come around onto his sass.
It's the accent, isn't it?
Girls love an accent. Back into the mailbag. love the show. Listen to every episode. Particularly enjoy all your USMNT takes, and specifically Doyle's.
Mm-hmm.
His starting 11 is fire. My question is, with a left-back pool so light and lacking, why hasn't Greg Garza been included in that combo?
He was included. He got injured in January camp, and this comes off a season in which he was injured for 25 games, I think. He started, 9? Maybe 10 games last year for Atlanta. And the year before that, I believe he was injured. And then I think he was injured for the 2 years before that as well. If Greg Garza could stay healthy, he would absolutely be in the pool and maybe even the starting left back. But it just time after time after time.
Dylan, an American in Oslo, wants to know, should we be worried about how totally ineffective Pulisic's become for Dortmund?
I didn't think he was totally ineffective. I thought he was the best Dortmund attacker yesterday, but that team...
A.K.A. last week.
Oh, last week, right.
In Champions League.
He did some really good stuff. I do think there's an element of staleness there, and looking forward to him finding a new place to play.
Awesome. Yeah, look, I mean, it's going to be tough. Chelsea's going to be in disarray, but it was clearly time for him at Dortmund, and now it's his job to go make the best of what could be a tough situation.
Are you guys ready to get some previews of the pod for 2019 again? We went through a bunch last week. Bobby, is there something you'd like to add?
The answer is yes, but it's a very long and complicated conversation. We'll have another day.
That's what I figured. That's why I was steering away from you, but you were coming out of your chair. Rich Homey said, ETR in a sentence, they are still talking about soccer, right? Strengths, varying takes, positivity, weakness, ability to stay on topic, never stray far from soccer. Unsung hero, Andrew Wiebe, how do you manage to keep all those fools in line?
Boo.
MVP, the troll. I'll leave it at that, and anyone can raise their hand and decide who the MVP is.
We have some real, there's a lot of differing opinions on the on-topic side of things. We do our best. We're tap dancing around the game a lot. That's all I had.
The troll is Bobby.
I don't know. If you want credit, you can take credit. If you don't want credit, he wrote the name after the word the troll. I was just leaving it out there to see
gotcha.
If someone would fish themselves out.
But Doyle's not a troll.
Felipe Ponce on Twitter, state of the
Andrew.
Pod. The Simon Borg era is finally behind us.
Finally. It's been over for so long, and it's sad to me how long it's been.
Yeah, it's hard to recover, though, from such a big
loss.
And
then you go in meetings with Simon, and you're like, oh, my God, we need to get you back on because you have the fire still. You're just hiding it.
Pod MVP, Wiebe staying sane and all that madness.
I'm not actually sane.
Unsung hero, Doyle's cats. It humanizes him.
Oh, that's good.
That is very good.
That's good.
Is it also the only people or things that love him, or?
Wow. Damn, Andrew.
Sorry. My bad. I didn't know where we were going with that, so I just, started riffing.
Prediction for this season, Doyle and Warshaw get into a fight by week 5, in which Swifty on Twitter followed up and said, I think Goss is most likely to throw a punch.
He is.
For MLS Final 2019.
That is 100% true. Anybody who's ever, first of all, Bobby's a psycho. Bobby's Patrick Bateman. He's going to kill one of us with an axe. It's probably going to be me. That's fine. But our listeners need to know that David is a psycho. I have gone to watch you play adult league craptastic,
not adult league, co-ed.
Co-ed soccer. I've watched you guys play 5 or 6 times. You have almost gotten into a fight every single game, David. Every single game, you are running around, waving your arms, screaming at the ref, pointing at whoever you think fouled you, just a slight smidgen too hard.
Do you know what's the one consistency with all that? That I was right every single time.
Oh, my God.
You know what the other side note to all of this is? Is that I have at times played with this co-ed team. Your special someone no longer lets me come because I think Dave and I, in combination,
for sure. Even worse. She couldn't cut me from the team because we live together. So she's like, Weeby's not invited.
The first time I came, within 2 minutes of me being on the field, I'm two-hand shoving some guy. Are you kidding me right now? What are you doing?
God, we know what's consistent about that. Weeby was also in the right.
Exactly.
Life is easy when you're that way. Put 5 minutes on the clock and go. ETR in one sentence. A crew of 2 to 5-ish guys sitting in a colored room in New York City, patiently waiting for Bobby to finish his answers by asking a question to a question that wasn't asked. Strength. Count on them producing content week in and week out while systematically roasting fan bases who think that their team deserves to be talked about, looking at you, Orlando and Vancouver.
Wow.
Yes. It's not personal. Just know that.
Weakness, taking a page out of Tottenham transfer policy and not signing anyone in the past 2 transfer windows. This leaves the squad vulnerable to injuries, sickness, dad duties, and unnecessary vacations to drink tequila, which results in emergency loans like bringing in the dancing bear from the circus.
Oh, man.
Whoever wrote that one, I want to listen to their podcast. That was
exactly
good.
It's Alec from Flint, and he ended with this. MVP, the bird dog.
The Tam signing of the previous season showed that he is worth a DP-level contract with his ability to cover stories before they happen to keep the team one step ahead. You might not see him every show, but the quality he provides when he is on the show shows how valuable he is. While the transfer windows are a hectic time, his calm presence in the side helps the squad get the job done.
Clearly a Joe Mason fan.
Sam actually is the Joe Mason of the show, I think.
Not Joe Mason.
When are we cutting him? That's all. I'm saying, being real, you know.
He's already done his last show, as far as I'm concerned.
Whoa.
That was a little harsh.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you know. Didn't Joe get cut?
Isn't.
I'm not cutting Sam. I want you to know
Bobby's still trying to finish his thought. And his answer to a question that wasn't asked.
Like, yeah, I was going
to
say, there's just like a parade of questions rolling through. Like, my favorite thing with Bobby is I'll look him in the eye and ask him a question. He'll look me in the eye and then revert back to whatever the previous conversation was, and I just throw my hands up.
He did that on set today. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
So Ed from Hartford, Connecticut sent us an email, which is mainly just strengths. Mm-hmm. There's a long one for each of us.
Okay.
Who would you like to hear? I'm not going to read all of them.
I would like to hear yours.
Yeah,
actually,
I want
to
hear yours.
Because I'm still confused as to what your strengths are.
What do you think the best are? What's the best one? Read the best one.
Sam would be like a Nigel de Jong, though, right?
Oh, my God.
8 months. All right, roll us in. What do you got?
Andrew Wiebe, host extraordinaire and dad of the podcast. Wiebe is an excellent interviewer and all-around podcaster. That's nice.
Hey!
However, his friendly tone when discussing the league can't hide the fact that he's totally in the bag for L.A. and maybe Seattle. Andrew could do a convincing job covering other teams around the league, but among the METR crew, Andrew is by far the most likely to whisper to himself, race to Saints, baby, when he's trying to get psyched up at the gym.
I mean, first of all, that's clearly false because I'm not at the gym. But yeah, the moment before I open my kid's door in the morning to pick him up, I do whisper to myself, race to Sace.
And you sing Born in 74 here. So, Ed from Hartford closed off with Simon Borg, definitely the best at saying see you next time weakness. He has apparently gone to a farm upstate and is no longer on the podcast.
Absolutely never live outside of
that's
an urban
true.
Area. He would like living in a farm is Simon's idea of hell. Like, he would hate that.
On that note, let's close off. Soccer Never Sleeps on Twitter. Jersey Jonathan says, I'm more concerned with who's getting the statue outside the ETR green room. Is it Lawless? Is it Furshaw?
No.
Is it Borg?
It's either Borg or Furshaw. I think it has to be. Oh, this is hard for me. I would cheat and build the two of them.
Yeah.
But if I had to build just one, I think Nick's going to be okay with it.
It's
Simon.
It Come is. It's I, Simon. I think so. But it's also, there is a Diego Valera, Diego Chara thing there.
Yeah.
It's like you build a statue of them both.
Yeah. So like it glue.
Or Simon holding up the cake pop after arm wrestling Gasman for it.
We'll have to retweet that out. That's such an amazing video.
God.
But yeah, it's Simon. It's Nick gleefully teeing Simon up on something like, hey, Simon, your downstairs neighbor died. How did you deal with the inevitable wishes of
Although Nick was smart enough to know if you just said, hey, Simon, how was your weekend? That would all come out.
Right. Just come pouring right out.
Well, there's a bug outside, and I don't know what the bug is, so I put my undershirt on, and I went outside the window.
Like, wait a minute.
At 4:30 in the
morning. You're hanging out at home with your family shirtless? Like, oi. Boy, oh, boy. All right. Well, the time of jam spoons is long gone, but CCL's here Tuesday. Watch it. We'll be on Twitter, I'm sure, all of us staying up late with the fever. Our preview series rolls on Thursday. We finish it up with all the remaining teams. Then we're on video talking big pictures, making predictions about the season. Some of our favorite shows. Enjoy your holiday. We'll see you on Thursday.
Cheerio.